Romans chapter 8, verses 28 through 39. What an amazing reading. I'd like for us to consider especially verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword? As it is written, for your sake, we're being killed all day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. The Christians in Rome were going through experiences that I've never gone through. They were having a year like no year I've ever had. And so here, as we wrap up this year, final Sunday of 2022, and we look back, what kind of year have you had? Have there been some ups? Been some downs? I think that's the way it is for most all of us. Ups and downs. And sometimes the ups are exceedingly high, and sometimes not so much, and sometimes the downs aren't too bad, but sometimes they are absolutely overwhelming. And yet I admit, for all the bad years that I've had, I have not had a Romans 8:35 year. And I will share with you, there have been some tough years at the Crozier House. The past couple of years have not been a walk in the park. Yet I come to Romans chapter 8, and I am reminded that for all the things that have happened, for all the pain, for all the sorrow, for all the struggle, for all the hurt, betrayal, sickness, loss, what Romans 8 reminds me is that it is well with my soul. I have something that I'm looking forward to. Something that is greater than anything that I face here. Something that when I finally get there, no matter how bad it has been here, I will be able to say it was worth it. And I admit that sometimes I've been through things that put that to the test. But I trust Paul that when he talks about those who have experienced tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, danger, sword, and yet he still looks forward recognizing that none of this can separate me from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. Yes, yes, I know, I can leave myself, but that's not what he's talking about. There are none of the things that I have experienced or have happened to me that anybody else has done to me that can take me away from Jesus. And so no matter how bad or how dark it might get, I can say, it is well with my soul. And on the flip side of that, no matter how great it gets, no matter how wonderful it is here in this life, what I need to remember is that what matters most is it well with my soul? Because I might have the most lucrative job. My kids may love me to death. My spouse may think I am just the greatest thing since sliced bread, and we may just have happiness every day long. But if it is not well with my soul, then none of that matters. Here's the interesting thing. As we get to this final lesson of the year, I am burdened with that old preacher saying that my job is to comfort the afflicted, but afflict the comfortable. Because I know that there are some here today who are afflicted, sorely afflicted. And if you are in Jesus Christ, and if you have given your allegiance to Him, what I want to do is help you leave today comforted in Jesus Christ. But I also recognize that there are some people who are just comforted in their kind of lukewarm, half-hearted existence, showing up at church, thinking it's just all okay because they got baptized sometime years ago. And the last thing in the world I want is for you to leave comforted. I want you to leave afflicted so that you can become comforted. Today I'm going to try to walk that, but what I want us to consider, and in fact what I want to do is walk through this song, and I want to help us. It is well with my soul. The very first verse of "It is well with my soul." When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot thou hast taught me to say, it is well. It is well with my soul. It is well with my soul. It is well. It is well with my soul. Can you say that? It is well with my soul. Can you say it with me? It is well with my soul. And if it is not, please don't say it with us. It is well with my soul. I'd like to tell you a story. Many of you probably heard this story before. This is one of the most famous hymn stories that go along with this song. But in 1873, November, a fellow named Horatio Spafford was having a bad couple of years. He had been a successful businessman and lawyer in Chicago, but 2 years earlier, in 1871, because of the Chicago fire, he had lost pretty much all of his fortune. And at about the same time, something more tragic struck. His 4-year-old son died because of scarlet fever. In grief, he threw himself into the work of trying to rebuild the city and help those 100,000 people who had lost their homes. And after 2 years of running himself ragged, he had decided that it was time for his family to have a vacation. And they were going to take a European vacation. Because in those 2 years, his business had succeeded again. However, at the very last minute, some emergency came up back home. And so he was unable to get on the ship with his wife and 4 remaining daughters. And he put them on the ship, sent them on their way, and said, "I'll meet you as soon as I can." And on November 22nd, 1873, the Ville de Havre ran into an iron sailing vessel and sank. Of the 200 and I believe 76 who died, 4 of them were his daughters. Only Anna, his wife, survived. And when she made it to Cardiff, Wales, she sent a cable back saying, "Saved alone." He immediately booked passage, headed for England. And the captain, knowing what had happened, about the time they got to the place where his family's ship had sunk, called him aside and said, We're passing the place where it happened. And he went to his room, as the story says. He tried to rest, but he couldn't. And the only thing that gave him comfort was this repeated statement, "It is well. It is well." And that began the healing process for his grief and ultimately ended up being this song. It is well with my soul. Our life goes back and forth between peace and sorrow, peace and sorrow, peace and sorrow. And so sometimes peace does attend like a river, but other times sorrow like sea billows roll, like waves crashing against us. And sometimes it is so overwhelming, we're not sure we'll be able to get back up. Have you been there? I have. And what helps us hang on? Last week, Andrew preached to us about Paul and his contentment from Philippians chapter 4. And in Philippians chapter 4, Paul is able to say, "I know how to be brought low." This is verse 12. "And I know how to abound. In every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty." Does that sound like peace? Abundance, plenty, comfort. "And hunger." Does that sound like sorrow? I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. Guys, I'd just like you to think about some of the sorrows that Paul faced when he says that, when he talks about suffering want. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 23, as he compares himself to these people who are presenting themselves as apostles, though they are false. Are they servants of Christ? I'm a better one. I'm talking like a madman, with far greater labors, far more imprisonments, with countless beatings, and often near death. Five times I received at the hands of the Jews the 40 lashes less one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 I was stoned. 3 I was shipwrecked. 1 night and 1 day I was adrift at sea, on frequent journeys and dangers, in danger from rivers, danger from robbers, danger from my own people, danger from Gentiles, danger in the city, danger in the wilderness, danger at sea, danger from false brothers. And isn't that the worst one? People parading as faithful Christians. In toil and hardship, through many a sleepless night, in hunger and thirst, often without food, in cold and exposure, and apart from other things, there's the daily pressure on me of the anxiety for all the churches. He says, and I have learned to be content, and I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. If I remember right, Andrew also took us to Hebrews chapter 13, verses 5 and 6, where the Hebrew writer says to us, keep your life free from the love of money and be content with what you have, for He has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we can confidently say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? Whether it's in the city or the wilderness, whether it's at sea or on land, whether it's among our brethren or out in the world, what can man do to me? I have Jesus, and it is well with my soul. Would you please stand and sing the first verse with me? No. So when peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot thou hast taught me to say, it is well, it is well with my soul. It is well with my soul. It is well, it is well with my soul. Please be seated. Though Satan should buffet, though trials should come, let this blessed assurance control that Christ hath regarded my helpless estate, and hath shed His own blood for my soul. It is well with my soul. It is well. It is well with my soul. We find ourselves between peace and sorrow. And here we find ourselves between Satan and Jesus. Because Satan does buffet, and trials do come. And they are painful. And Satan would do everything he can to get us to turn from the Lord. Satan would do everything he can to draw us away. And at times, we must admit, he has succeeded. Because the temptation came, and what we decided to do was sin. And take that easy path, following the crowd, going along with our friends. And for all that we have suffered sorrow, we have heaped sorrow upon others. And what are we to do? Nothing. There's nothing we can do. How can we make up for that? We're part of the problem. But Jesus Christ looked upon us, and he saw our helpless estate, and he shed his blood for our soul. In Philippians chapter 2 and verse 4. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. Philippians 2, 5. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. That is my King. Is he yours? Because what our King has done is he looked down upon those who would be his citizens, and he saw that we cannot win this battle. And he came and fought it. And so many today are remembering that little baby in the manger. What we need to remember is that that little baby in the manger was God in the flesh. God, who left heaven and came into the world among us, living as one of us, going through what we go through, because we cannot do it successfully. And he grew up to be a man who was accused of rebellion. And he was hung on a cross. And he bled. And he died. But on the third day, he arose. And because he arose, it is well with my soul. Would you please stand and sing verse 2 with me? It's going to be up and down, sorry knees. But guys, you sound so much better when you're standing. No me so, though Satan should buffet, though trial should come, let this blessed assurance control, that Christ hath regarded my helpless estate and hath shed his own blood for my soul. It is well, it is well with my sin. Oh, the bliss of this glorious thought. I hope when y'all sing this, you catch what's happening there in the song. He starts a sentence, and the thought is so amazing, he has to stop in the middle of it and say, this is an amazing thought. My sin. Oh, the bliss of this glorious thought. My sin, not in part, but the whole, is nailed to the cross. And I bear it no more. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Oh, my soul. It is well with my soul. It is well. It is well with my soul. What a glorious thought. My sin. Every bit of it. Jesus knew every single sin I was going to commit. See, my sins are a shock to you, and so I try to hide them from you. I try to cover them up. I don't want you to know about them. But God knew every sin I was going to commit. And he looked at me and said, and he looked at you and said, I'll pay for that. And so in Colossians chapter 2 and verse 6, in Colossians chapter 2 and verse 6, therefore, as you received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him. Rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. See to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceit. Excuse me, according to human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of the world, and not according to Christ. For in Him the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily, and you have been filled in Him who is the head of all rule and authority. In Him you also were circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, by putting off the body of the flesh, by the circumcision of Christ, having been buried with Him in baptism, in which you were also raised with Him through faith in the powerful working of God who raised Him from the dead. And you, who were dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made alive together with Him, having forgiven all our trespasses by canceling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands. This He set aside, nailing it to the cross. He disarmed the rulers and authorities and put them to open shame by triumphing over them in Him. The rulers and the authorities, and in specific, our enemy, the Satan, the accuser, who stands against us and points at us and says, that one's a sinner. As he stood before God and accused Job, he said, you see that one right there? That one right there? He won't stand with you. Take away. Make it hard on him. Make him have a bad year. I promise you, he'll abandon you. And unlike Job, who was surrounded by sorry comforters, we have the greatest comforter, who stepped up and stands between us and the one who would accuse us and nails those accusations to the cross, if you will. Everything that can be used against us to demonstrate that we owe, He has nailed to the cross. He has paid the price. He has offered the sacrifice. The righteous requirement of the law that those who sin shall die, He kept and fulfilled. Do you see why it's a glorious thought? My sin taken away. And please understand why this is so important. Because see, today we hear these voices again and again and again and again that seem to be telling us that what Jesus died to save us from was all the sins that people have committed against us. And I get it. In eternity, we will have happiness, and there will be no oppression, and nobody will be sinning against us. But that's not what we really need. What we need is deliverance from the sinning we've done against everyone else. And we have. Look, folks have done awful things to us. I know it. But we who are without sin should cast the first stone. And what Jesus did was come and wipe that debt away. And whatever your picture of that is, recognize that He wiped that debt away. And because of that, it is well with my soul. Would you please stand and sing verse 3 with me? Know me so, my sin, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought. My sin, not in part, but the whole, is nailed to the cross, and I bear. And Lord, haste the day when the faith shall be sight. The clouds be rolled back as a scroll. The trump shall resound, and the Lord shall descend. Even so, it is well with my soul. It is well with my soul. It is well. It is well with my soul. I tell you this, brothers, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we shall be changed. For this perishable body must put on the imperishable, and this mortal body must put on immortality. When the perishable body puts on the imperishable, and the mortal puts on immortality, then shall come to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin. And the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through Jesus Christ our Lord. Praise God. Therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. Often when we participate in the supper, we read where Paul says that we are proclaiming the Lord's death until a certain time. Do you remember what that time is? Until He comes. I'll admit it. There are plenty of things that I struggle with. There are verses I look at and I'm like, I'm just not sure. And I change my mind and I waffle and I come back and forth. And there are disagreements that I have with people that I'm willing to just continue to keep having those. And there's sometimes things happen in life and it causes me to wonder. But I have to tell you, what always brings me back is, guys, I really believe that 2,000 years ago, Jesus came to the earth and he died on a cross. And I really believe on the third day, he came out of that tomb. Do you agree with me? And because I believe that, that means some things. That changes things. What that says to me is that there is a hope that is greater than anything I hope for in this life. Retirement, health, wealth. What is all of that? Nothing. But eternity with the Lord in his kingdom. And that's everything. Everything. And the reality is, when the Lord returns, if I'm sitting in my mansion, supping upon my fine food, having a good time, but I'm not working in the Lord, all that work I did to get there was completely vain. It didn't help. Not a bit. But if I'm outside that mansion at the gate, laying on the ground, a beggar, poor, sores that are being licked by the dogs, but I've been working in the Lord, that is not in vain. And when death comes, I look forward to being in the bosom of Abraham. And I'll probably preach a sermon on this sometime, but I've come to understand that being in the bosom of Abraham is not there with Abraham just giving me this wonderful hug. That's actually a picture of the feast. Just as the disciple whom Jesus loved was in the bosom of Jesus laying against him at the table, that's what that is. That's being at the feast. Those from east and west who have gathered at the feast, being in the bosom of Abraham. And so, I admit it. I get scared. I watch the news and I get scared. I watch the news and I get worried about pandemics and plagues and I get scared of politicians. All of those things scare me. Some more than others. I watch the news and I hear people talk and I admit it, I get scared. What's going to happen with our young people? And what's going to happen to the church? Is there going to be persecution? I don't know. But I can tell you one thing that doesn't scare me. The return of Jesus. The return of Jesus doesn't scare me. Because he is my king. And I'm in his army. I'm on his side. And so there's another thing that doesn't scare me. And that's death. And judgment that follows. Because my king is the judge. And so I don't have to be afraid of that. Now it's true that I have loved ones that ought to be scared of the return of Jesus, not to be scared of death. And so when I think of them, it is hard for me to say, Lord, haste the day. When I think of them, sometimes what I'm saying is, you know, could you wait at least one more day? And I admit that. But when I sing this song, I am thinking about where I am and where I hope you are. That when that day comes, the joy at being with Jesus for eternity will overwhelm everything else. And so I do look forward to that day. And I hope you will look forward to that day. Because in that day, this declaration, it is well with my soul. Right now, we are saying that in faith. We're singing that in faith. But a day is coming when we will sing that by sight. And as we sing this last verse, sing it like you think you will on that day. Would you please stand? Know me so. And we'll sing the chorus full tilt the whole time this time. Know me so. And Lord, haste the day when the faith shall be sight. The clouds be rolled back as a scroll. The trump shall resound and the Lord shall descend. Even so it is well with my soul. It is well with my soul. It is well. It is well with my soul. Please be seated. I want to go back where we began while Stephen is coming to the front. And yes, we will be singing this one more time. Romans 8:28. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good. For those who are called according to His purpose, for those whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, in order that He might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those whom He predestined, He also called. And those whom He called, He also justified. And those whom He justified, He also glorified. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for us all, how will He not also with Him graciously give us all things? Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died, more than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all the day long, for we are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Praise God. It is well with my soul. Is it well with yours? Because if it is not, we would help you. We would love whatever has happened to you and around you throughout this year for this year to end with you entering Jesus Christ. Or with you returning to Jesus Christ. Because only then is it well with your soul. Would you be baptized in Him? Raised by your faith and the power of working in God, would you give your life over allegiance to Jesus Christ, that your labor in Him would not be in vain? We would help you with that. If we can, won't you come forward right now as we stand and sing?